The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters
the danger zone. Oh, yes, we know you love going into the danger zone. And we do, too, because New Constructs does really interesting, really solid, really different research. It is all done from the bottom up. And it's really not just the bottom up in terms of, like, what am I seeing in the market? It's from the footnotes all the way up. New Constructs judges stocks and mutual funds and ETFs on a scale from most dangerous to most attractive. And if you're looking for stuff and you want to go, hey, where's the real value? Well, you're going to go to newconstructs.com to find out what they think is attractive. We talk about the stuff here that we think is going to get people in trouble because we are hoping to keep you out of trouble. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Good to be with you, Chuck.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Sears Holdings.
Danger, danger.
That's ticker symbol SHLD. And why Sears Holdings?
Two reasons, valuation and red flags.
Well, let's start with valuations, because for most folks, that's the one they can most easily get their head around.
Right. And you know, this call, Chuck, is going to build on a couple things we've talked about in the past. One is companies benefiting from expectations for a rebound in commercial and residential construction. And the other is companies potentially facing obsolescence from online retailers. And those are sort of the bigger things. But I think let's focus on the valuation first here, and we'll use or refer back to those themes to talk about why the expectations embedded in the stock price might be so unrealistic. Specifically, to justify the current price of about $47 a share, the company has to grow revenue at 5% compounded annually for 11 years, while also improving its returns on invested capital, which essentially it's cash on cash returns, from a negative 1% as it was at the end of 2012, to a positive 7%. So, in essence, the current stock price is baking in a drastic turnaround in the profitability of the business and growth that the company hasn't seen any time in the last several years. Since 2006, the company's revenues declined 2.6% per year on average. So, revenues have been going down, not up, as the stock price implies. And the return on invested capital has also been in a major decline. It was 10.6% in 2006, and again, down to 1% in 2012. So not exactly inspiring trends compared to what is baked into the stock price.
But it's not just the valuation that bothers you. You say that there are red flags. That's got to be stuff where people are currently looking at those valuations, maybe finding some way to ignore that revenue trend, but they're just overlooking completely anything else, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about some of the things that people might not be seeing, like $2.8 billion in underfunded pensions.
Ouch.
You know, how's the company, if it's not making any money, we show that it's not, you know, I didn't even mention, when you have a negative return on invested capital, you are highly unprofitable, okay, not even close. And so $2.8 billion is about 55% of the market cap. They've got another $2.8 billion in off-balance sheet debt. It's 56% of the market cap. $1.3 billion in deferred tax liabilities, 26% of the market cap. Those are a lot of liabilities hanging out there that, again, are senior to the investor. So all those liabilities got to get paid off before investors can realize any cash flow or any value.
And as you just pointed out, you've got more than 125% of the market cap just tied up in those items that most people don't even pay attention to or know are out there.
That's right. $6.85 billion in total hidden liabilities or off balance sheet liabilities, which is 137% of the market cap. I got one more for you.
Okay.
How about asset write-offs? We've talked about these a lot as a sign that management is essentially incapable of doing what management is supposed to do in essence, which is to be a good agent of the capital that investors give them. A good agent takes your capital and makes money with it, which means that you give them 10 bucks, they can give you more back from that. They make money on that. So they make a dollar a year over many, many years. Well, when you have a write-off, that's essentially your agent coming back and saying, you gave me 10 bucks and I've only got 8 bucks left and I got to give it back to you because it's going to go to 7. So I'm going to get rid of it at 8. Sears has $1.2 billion in accumulated write-offs, and those are the after-tax value. So we give them benefit for the tax break they get when you write off an asset. But that's $1.2 billion, or 11% of their net assets, or essentially 10 cents on every dollar that's been put into the business has essentially been wiped away.
You had a couple of weeks ago Office Max in the danger zone. Part of it was big box stores not looking good for a lot of different reasons. Separate from everything else and the valuation and all those other sorts of things, when you look at it and you look at the trouble that they've gotten into, this strikes me as a company that's in a death spiral. Is there any way that they survive in the modern economy?
Great segue to the major theme that we've talked about before. Is like, look, how do they compete with the online retailers? Why do I need a store to buy some of the things that Sears sells? And I don't see it, you know? So you usually ask me what I think the value of the stock is. And to me, I think it's a zero. At the end of the day, what is Sears going to do? They're not making any money. They've got huge liabilities. What do they do? What's going to work? What's going to make people want to go to Sears?
Well, probably nothing. And that's the big problem. And even if it does, you got to get there a whole lot of people going to Sears for it to even have any hope of just getting out of the danger zone, let alone getting to where it's in the profit zone. David, great information. Thank you so much for joining me on Money Life.
Always good to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
There is much more to go on today's show. Remember, if you want more information, it's newconstructs.com, and you can get information on all their ratings there. Up next, it's David Cohn from Eudora Asset Management when Money Life continues.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.